You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Thursday, April 30th, 2026. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. U.S. and European refineries thriving so far, but Asian ones suffer. Published by Housley Carr and Robert Hours. It's been 8 weeks since the steady flow of crude oil and refined product tankers out of the Persian Gulf ended, and the impacts of the still simmering U.S.-Iran conflict on refineries and product suppliers in the U.S., Europe, and the Asia-Pacific (APAC) region are becoming clearer. For many refineries on both sides of the Atlantic, their relatively minor reliance on Middle East crude and the higher prices they are now receiving for their gasoline, diesel, and especially jet fuel put them in a great spot, at least for now. It's much different for refineries in many Asian countries, however. Heavily dependent on Persian Gulf oil, they are drawing down their reserves, scrambling for replacements, and hoping the Strait of Hormuz is reliably reopened very soon. In today's RBN blog, we discuss the current state of refining and refined product supply in the US, Europe, and APAC. We should emphasize up front that you can't make broad generalizations about all US refineries or all refineries in Europe or Asia. Sure, they can be put into categories or groups. For example, complex refineries along the U.S. Gulf Coast, USGC, or teapots in China, but each refinery is ultimately unique, with its own location, set of refining/processing equipment, crude slate, and approach to feedstock contracting and refined product sales, among other things. That said, many refineries in each of the three areas we're focusing on, the U.S., Europe, and Asia, are facing similar situations a couple of months into the Iran conflict. As for refined product supply, the U.S. is just fine for the foreseeable future, but Europe and Asia already are struggling and things could get far worse in the coming weeks. We'll start with the U.S., whose refineries have been relying less and less on Persian Gulf crude oil in recent years. As we discussed a couple of weeks ago in How Am I Supposed to Live Without You, total oil imports from the region averaged only 491,000 barrels per day in 2025, down from a peak of more than 2.6 million barrels per day in 2001 and the lowest level since 1985. PADD 3, Gulf Coast, the only U.S. region to export vast amounts of refined products, imported only 176,000 barrels per day of Persian Gulf crude last year, less than half of what it did in 2020. That mostly heavier, higher sulfur oil is readily replaceable by a mix of light shale oil, medium crude from the offshore U.S. Gulf, and heavy oil from Canada or Venezuela. Of note, more than two-thirds of the PADD 3 imports in Q4 2025 were Saudi imports going to Aramco's wholly-owned Motiva refinery in Port Arthur, Texas. More important to our topic today, Gulf Coast refineries had already been operating at high rates and exporting pretty much all the gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel they could before the start of U.S. and Israeli attacks on Iran on February 28 and the subsequent Michigas. So, as we'll get to in more detail later, there are limits to how much refined product PADD 3 refineries and exporters can send to European and Asian markets beyond what they have already been shipping. In other words, there's only so much the U.S. can do to help, at least from the refined product perspective. Crude oil is a slightly different story. Again, more on that to come. As for PADD 5, West Coast, its Chevron/Richmond and Marathon Petroleum/Los Angeles refineries, both in California, have been the PADD's primary importers of Persian Gulf crude in recent years. Like their Gulf Coast counterparts, they can turn to alternative sources for oil, including Latin America, especially Guyana, Brazil, Ecuador, Venezuela, and Colombia, as well as Western Canada for heavier, higher sulfur oils. These refineries will also compete for Alaskan crude. The bigger issue for West Coast refined product supply over the next few months is the conflict-related need to compete fiercely with APAC for jet fuel. We'll zero in on this in an upcoming blog. And PADD 1/East Coast? The two PBF Energy refineries near Philadelphia that imported an average of 85,000 barrels per day from the Persian Gulf last year, mostly from Saudi Arabia, have alternative sources of supply as well. No real problem there. Note that the scale on the PADD 1 chart of the blog is different than the scale on the PADD 3 and PADD 5 charts, but while the East Coast used to be a significant importer of refined products, mostly from Europe, to supplement PADD 1 production and piped in supply from PADD 3, in recent weeks it has been exporting noteworthy volumes, especially jet fuel, to Europe to help mitigate the loss of Persian Gulf-sourced products there. Speaking more generally, many U.S. refineries are currently benefiting from exceptionally high RIN-adjusted 2-1-1 crack spreads, a good predictor of refinery profitability, and profitability, a result of the global product supply shortage, higher product prices, abundant domestic crude oil supply, and relatively low spot prices for oil, high refinery utilization rates, and, for Gulf Coast refiners, the ability to export everything surplus to domestic needs. Next, we'll look at Europe's refining sector and refined product supply situation. Like the U.S., Europe's recent reliance on Persian Gulf crude oil is relatively modest, only 5% to 10% for the 12.8 million barrels per day of refineries in the 27-country European Union, EU, and less than 5% for the 1.2 million barrels per day of refineries in the UK. However, and it's a big two-part however, 1. Europe shut down more than 3 million barrels per day of refining capacity between 2009 and 2025, increasing its dependence on imported refined products, and 2. The region last year depended on the Persian Gulf for up to 40% of its jet fuel supply, and up to 25% of its diesel. It was a net exporter of gasoline, including to PADD 1. In addition, European refiners are seeing increased competition from Asian refiners for their non-Persian Gulf crude oil sources, especially for barrels from the US, Latin America, and West and North Africa. For many European refineries, the current situation is actually a boon. Like their US counterparts, they have benefited generally, and even more so the past couple of months, from the years-long decline in regional refining capacity. Also, as we said, European refineries' dependence on Persian Gulf crude is small, and while they need to compete, and pay more, for alternative sources of oil supply, their crack spreads, like in the US, are super high, north of $50 per barrel generally, and often double that, or more, for jet fuel specifically. But there are serious worries on the refined product supply side. Europe in recent years has depended on the Persian Gulf for up to 40% of its jet fuel supply, and, as you've probably heard, the International Energy Agency, IEA, said recently that Europe has replaced only about half of those interrupted supplies and may exhaust most of its remaining stockpiles in just a few weeks if imports from the US and other sources don't continue to pick up. The US exported a record 442,000 barrels of jet fuel, most of it to Europe, the week ended April 3rd, but export volumes dropped to 290,000 barrels the following week. That may be an early sign of the US's limited ability to help. The EU and UK governments have urged conservation and fuel supply coordination, among other things, and while there's scant evidence so far that European businesses and drivers have reduced their diesel consumption by much, the combination of sharply higher prices and supply concerns have already led to flight cancellations. For example, Lufthansa, Europe's number two carrier by passenger volume, after number one Ryanair, said April 21 that it will cancel about 20,000 short-haul flights there between May and October, saving about 40,000 metric tons, about 325,000 barrels, of jet fuel in the process. The bottom line for Europe, then, is this: good times in the near term for well-positioned refineries, but a clear trend toward a product supply crisis, once more, with jet fuel at the epicenter, in the coming months if the situation in the Persian Gulf/Strait of Hormuz doesn't improve measurably in the next few weeks. Finally, we'll look at the APAC region, most parts of which are highly dependent on the Persian Gulf for both crude oil and refined products, especially diesel and jet fuel. Because of their heavy reliance on crude imports from the region, refineries in China, India, Japan, South Korea and Taiwan, among other APAC countries, have been scrambling to find replacement sources of oil, ramping down their refinery utilization rates, or temporarily shutting down facilities, and, in the cases of China and India, suspending exports of refined products in an effort to minimize shortages at home. It would be fair to call the APAC situation dire, though the global market is responding as much as it can. For example, as shown in Figure 3 of the blog, terminals along the USGC have been sending increasing volumes of crude oil to the APAC region in recent weeks while generally maintaining their already significant export volumes to Europe. We should note that the 2.7 million barrels per day sent to APAC in the week ended April 24 was the highest since June 2024, and that total USGC export volume soared to 5.8 million barrels per day, the highest in RBN records. The spike in USGC exports was supported by a sharp increase in very large crude carrier, VLCC, activity, with 11 VLCC loadings the week ended April 24, up from 10 the week prior but just 3 the week before that. With the Strait of Hormuz situation still in flux and demand for crude oil very high in Asia, and still strong in Europe, we would expect U.S. crude export volumes to remain at or near record levels, at least as long as they can be supported by North American inventory drawdowns and Strategic Petroleum Reserve, SPR, releases. It still needs to be determined, though, if U.S. exports of diesel and jet fuel will do the same. Diesel exports topped 1.5 million barrels per day, very high marks, in the weeks ending April 3 and April 10, though the increase above typical levels was largely supported by inventory draws. Why? There is longer-term concern that, if there's no real resolution to the Iran conflict this spring or early summer, U.S. refineries and refined product supply may become far more impacted than they have been so far. Two Out of Three Ain't Bad was written by Jim Steinman and appears as the first song on side two of Meat Loaf's debut solo studio album, Bat Out of Hell. It was the last of the tunes Steinman wrote for the album. He needed a simple pop song with a twist, so, inspired by an Elvis song, he came up with the lyrics, I want you, I need you, but there ain't no way I'm ever gonna love you. Don't be sad, Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. The power ballad is about romance, heartbreak, and the inability to have true love. Released as a single in March 1978, it went to number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart and has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA. It remains one of Meat Loaf's career signature songs. Personnel on the record were Meat Loaf, vocals, Todd Rundgren, guitar, backing vocals, Kasim Sultan bass, Roy Batton, piano, Roger Powell, synthesizer, John Wilcox, drums, Rory Dodd, backing vocals, and Kenneth Asher, string arrangements. Bat Out of Hell was recorded during 1975 and 1976 at Bearsville in Woodstock, New York, Utopia Sound in Lake Hill, New York, The Hit Factory in New York City, and House of Music in West Orange, New Jersey. The album was an adaptation of a Jim Steinman musical, Neverland, a rock version of Peter Pan that Steinman wrote in 1974. Produced by Todd Rundgren, the album was released in October 1977. It went to number 1 on the Billboard Top Rock, and number 13 on the Billboard 200 Albums charts. It has been certified 14x Platinum by the RIAA. Five singles were released from the LP. Meatloaf, Marvin Lee Adey, was an American singer and actor. He played in various rock bands in the Los Angeles area in the late 1960s and early 70s, and did a stint in the Los Angeles production of the musical Hair before relocating to Detroit, singing with Ted Nugent, and releasing an album on Motown Records in 1971 titled Stoney and Meatloaf. He moved to New York City in 1972 and was involved in various musical theater productions before moving back to Los Angeles in 1973, joining the original cast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show and playing the part of Eddie in the motion picture of the musical. He started working with Jim Steinman in 1974, and the rest is history. He released 12 studio albums, 6 live albums, 7 compilation albums, 1 EP and 39 singles and has sold over 100 million records worldwide. Meatloaf won a Grammy Award and a Brit Award and appeared in more than 50 motion pictures and television shows. He died in Nashville in January 2022 at 74.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.